Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday, July 10th Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force call. My name is Carrie Lemoy, the transcriber. Might call me Carrie Illinois, but really I'm Carrie Lemoy. Today, our main topic is open recognition. We have Julie Keen and Don Prezant here to present and kick off a discussion about open recognition and verifiable credentials. So let me get a few things out of the way, and then we will get going. First thing is to note that anybody can participate in these calls. These are our open calls, but if you intend to do any work on any credential community group spec, then you should join the credential community group and sign the ICR agreement. That information is in the agenda link that I put in the chat. And follow that there or reach out to me if you are curious about becoming a signed up member of the CCG. Also note that these calls are recorded and there are minutes and everything is saved at a public page and it is archived there. You can see it later. Once the calls are over, we typically send out an email in a day or so with the published minutes. Also note that we use a queue system for these calls, so we really encourage discussion, but we want to make sure that everybody has a chance. So if you ask a question or participate in the conversation, please type a Q+, like I just did in the chat, and then you can also type Q- to take yourself out of the queue. And before we get going, a couple other things. One is introductions and reintroductions. Is there anybody that's new to the call today that would like to introduce themselves? If so, you can see yourself up in the chat. And this includes anybody who would also like to reintroduce themselves. Oh, and one other thing, in addition to typing Q or a Q-, you can use the hand at the lower navigation. Eric, I see that you have queued yourself up.
Yeah, hi everybody. So I'm new to this call. I'm a colleague of John Q, working on a solution called Pocket for Arizona State University. I guess that's it. I'm the engineering manager for that team. That's pretty much it.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for introducing yourself. Adam?
Hey, yeah.
How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm great. Thank you. I'm Adam. I'm just one of the founders from Tango Labs, which is a German company that we're currently working on interoperable solutions in self-sovereign identity. I had the pleasure of meeting Dimitri actually in DICE in Zurich not long ago, and he invited me to participate because our focus currently is with UNESCO learning institutes and cities in the EU, working towards an interoperable learner identity ecosystem. Whatever one of those will end up being. One of our focuses is actually working towards, a sort of universal open source badge data model specification. So that's something that's kind of in the pipelines. It's purely based on DID and verifiable credentials. So it's great to be here. Thank you.
Welcome, Adam. We're really glad to have you here.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. How is D-Web? Sorry, I'm digressing.
Thanks for joining us, Adam. And I'd love to hear more about what you're working on. Maybe you can present on some call.
Yeah, I'd love to at some point. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
How about next Monday?
My wife's off work, so if I do work next week, I get killed.
All right, I'll let you all figure that out later. We can reach out and figure that out. Okay, don't see any other introductions or reintroductions in the queue. Yes, Julie, being married is important. And I was wondering if anybody has any announcements or reminders that they would like to share. If so, why don't you go ahead and queue yourself up and let us know. Manu.
Hey, thanks, Carrie. One quick announcement. We are trying to close up the demonstrations of support for selective disclosure for data integrity. So there was an email that was sent out to the the credentials community group about showing support for selective disclosure for data integrity. I'll put that email in the chat channel. For those of you that hadn't heard about it, this is basically a way of selectively disclosing something in a verifiable credential. So think if a student has a student ID and it's got a lot of their information in it as a verifiable credential, this selective disclosure mechanism would allow them to just disclose, like, the university that they attend without disclosing any of the other information, last name, first name, things of that nature. So without disclosing their personally identifiable information. We are getting ready to raise a set of pull requests in the Verifiable Credential Working Group, and we would like to make sure that we've got support from this community before we do that. There is a sign-up sheet. So there's a presentation that I linked to in the chat channel, Selective Disclosure for W3C Data Integrity. And there is a sheet that we would like folks to add their names to if they have selective disclosure use cases and they want to see this thing exist as a global standard. There's a... sheet for that here. So I'll put that in here, in the chat channel, that's there. So if you, you know, have a use case or need for doing selective disclosure, with verifiable credentials, we would appreciate, you putting your name down on that sheet so that we can demonstrate that there's interest, so that we can push that forward on the global standard stage. That's it. Thanks.
That's awesome. Thank you, Manu.
Korea,
you are next in the queue.
To share the internet workshop, number, I think it's 37, is coming up in October, pretty early in the month, 10 to 12. So just letting folks know about it, and I'll say that related to accessibility, so if you want to be there, we'll help you there. Thanks.
Thanks, Leah. You were breaking up a little bit, but I put the link to the IIW in the chat for folks to sign up. For those of you who are interested in FlexFest, I believe we are planning on holding it the day before, like we did last FlexFest, on Monday, October 9th. I'm in the same location. All right. Nate, you have the floor.
Great. Thanks, Carrie. Serge is also here. We have an exciting announcement for this morning, which is that our beta sign-up has opened today for Orca, the Open Recognition Community app. This is intended to be open source, but we're planning for an open source release around December this year with some early partner access. New Open Badges 3.0 verifiable credentials platform also supporting Open Badges 2.0. The focus is on communities of practice who want to do badging together, consuming the badges at the same time that they're producing them, reducing the distance between when that credential is awarded and when it's consumed as much as possible. So new beta signups are open today. It's a wait list, and so we will gradually invite new communities in as we have capacity for them. And in addition, there's a little bit of a users group where people can discuss and talk about how to use badges for open recognition. So I'll put a sign-up link in the chat here, and stay tuned also for announcements on LinkedIn and all the socials today.
Awesome, Nate. That's really great. Good timing, too, for this call. Okay, it looks like the queue is empty. So why don't we go ahead and move to the next topic, which is about open recognition. So I would like to introduce Julie Keene from participate.com to kick us off. She and Don will have some slides for us, and we'll lead this discussion.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've been teed up very well by Adam and also Nate. And there's lots of open recognition folks here. Serge and Nate and Simone and Carrie and Cheryl and Doug and Anna. So lots of folks have been working in this space. So Don and I are really just representing. We have a couple of groups that will, lots of community calls that go on monthly. So we'll talk about that at the end. But I'm just going to not waste any time. And let's dive into open recognition. So, Don, take it away.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. So, Don Perzant, part of the Open Recognition Work Group. We're one of the active communities of practice connected with the Open Skills Network. I see in the list of participants, I'm supported today by several co-conspirators, and I'm sure I'll be reaching out to several of them. That said, this is a fairly technical group we're speaking to today. This is a fairly non-technical talk. We're just basically talking about principles and values that we think are important and should be thought about when developing these technologies. So I thought I'd start somewhat controversially to say, micro-credentials and other verifiable credentials feeding into skills-based hiring sounds pretty good until you start to think about it a bit. I like to call this Franken-Skillstein, or maybe that's STEAM for employers, where the idea is that they can simply specify some kind of a unicorn, and lo and behold, there it is, sort of assembled on the fly, as it were. And there seems to be an underlying assumption on the part of many that we're just the sum of our skills. And we, in our community, think that people are more than that. I found this report from last September pretty useful. But it's still thinking about that idea of the hungry now, the idea that it's just about skills. It's just about hiring, key stakeholders being employers, institutions, and government. And really there's no learner voice, in this document and in a lot of the discussions, and also this notion about communities that Nate was just talking about. And I hope we get a chance to explore more in the question and answer later on. A lot of this began, before micro-credentials. It began with a very expansive notion of connected learning. In other words, learning that's connected to things that you care about, starting with your passions and seeing where they take you. A more, can I say, appreciative, exploratory, journey-based kind of a vision. And notice on the left that there's online learning, but there's also things like volunteer programs. That could also be things like makerspaces and out-of-school activities. Carrie has some great experience with that, with Achievery. So, and then you notice on the right, job opportunities is only one of the doors that can open to you. So the vision wasn't only about lifelong learning, it was about life-wide learning, very much rooted in the community. And I'm sure some people can remember Chicago City of Learning, Pittsburgh City of Learning, the Sprout Fund, etc. And a lot of colleges and universities didn't really know what to do with this concept. It was a bit Wild West. They're worried about who was issuing the badges, whether too many were being issued, lack of assessment, lack of quality standards. But I think a lot of people also saw an opportunity to break some of the big degrees or macro credentials down into modular, stackable chunks. And there was a sort of parallel notion of stacking of programs that ended up being conflated with it. So we started hearing about the term micro-credential around 2014, 2015, defined by UNESCO and many others. It really comes down to a lot of course certificates, fairly institution-centric, very much, with a fairly top-down framing of recognition, which we feel has a tendency to pull the original vision out of shape. So recognition, I think, is a key word, and it's got a wide scope outside of formal recognition, the professions, hiring practices, because there's the notion of self-recognition and even self-assertion. And that can be self-actualization, but it can also progress to you making a claim about yourself that's verifiable, perhaps, like you might do in a resume or a cover letter, in a verifiable way that can be supported by others. Then there's social recognition, the kind that you get among peers and in communities, maybe built around geography, maybe around practices, interests, etc. And that's kind of what ORCA is about, that Nate was just mentioning. So My company, Learning Agents, where we do consulting, and we developed a framework for the Inter-American Development Bank. And this is a sort of a generic version of that framework that expands it a little bit. And the attempt is to try and encompass this wide spectrum of recognition and diversity of what people are doing. So on the left, you have the more sort of micro-credentialy stuff, and most of it is the assessment certificate, but it can be certifications. In other words, you're qualified for a role. Over on the right, it's more about, you know, did you complete a course? Did you participate in an activity? In the middle, maybe you're assembling a body of evidence that may or may not be evaluated by others. But way over on the right, that's where I think the magic happens, and that's why we're here today. It's things, awards, achievements, that peer issuing, that self-issuing, ad hoc, and more emergent. So it's more appreciative on the right, more summative and authenticated on the left. So Doug Belshaw pulled this together, the We Are Open Co-op. I think Doug's on the call today. So this is a comparison about how open recognition might compare to micro-credentials. I'm not going to read it all, but just sort of have a look. And you sort of have this idea on the one side, it's very much, a repackaging of certifications, certificates, et cetera. Over on the right, it's more of sort of an expansive notion. And we think there's room for both. It's a big tent. But we do find that sometimes there's not enough oxygen for conversations about what should be happening on the right. And there's huge value there, both for the individuals and even for others in less formal approaches to recognition. So here are some examples that have been explored over the past number of years, where it could be a self-assertion like, I did a hard thing, and some scaffolding there saying, why was it hard? What did you do? Why is that significant? Or it could be, I just learned something today, or somebody saying that you're a good person to work with. And if you have enough of those, maybe that starts having some cachet. So, or I have a hidden talent. So in other words, I didn't take a course to do this. I actually know something already that people don't know about me, and I'm asserting that here. And then over on the right, we have some interesting ones, pick up the reins, order and planning. And I'd like to now introduce Anna Hilliger, who's the author of these badges, formerly an intern, now on the staff at We Are Open Co-op, to tell her story. Anna, are you there? There's a picture of you.
These badges, though, I will talk about a different story. So I'm a student currently in a small university in Germany. And I'm studying media education, and I took some time to study 5 months in Finland, in Lapland. And for me, that was a really big experience, spending 5 months in the cold winter in Finland studying media education and gender studies. I met 1,000 new people and had so many great conversations. I took courses, and yeah, it was like for me, a really big thing. And if you go to the next slide, John, you can see it's in my LinkedIn profile. It's actually just a very small line that says that I spent 5 months in the University of Lapland, but it doesn't really show all the things that I actually experienced and learned. So on the next slide, I put together like the perfect backpack of badges that I wanted to take home with me. So as you can see, there's like three different topics. So there's, for one, there's the personal development, the cultural awareness, but also the knowledge, skills, and understanding of home there. And so I put them together, and those are all the things that I experienced. And if I would have them in my backpack somehow, I could tell my story better and show what I actually experienced. Already true.
So I think that's a great segue to this definition that Doug Belshaw pulled together, that which works for a lot of us. And it's just the idea that what we know, what we can do, who we're about really goes beyond credentialing, and it includes recognizing individuals and communities and where those communities are. And their right to apply their own definitions and their own labels to what they know and can do. And those can be rising up or implicit, or that they can move their way to be explicit. But the point is that they're very much rooted in the context and the actual people involved. Doug, you may want to add to this. If you're there. No worries, I'll just keep moving. I think just to bring things back to this audience, it's useful to start talking about ways of extracting value or leveraging this combination of data that can be structured and unstructured and about people and by people. So we have, for example, on the bottom left, we have Credential Engine doing great work with other organizations such as HR Open to develop very structured approaches to recognition of credentials, hiring processes. So HR Open, for example, is my understanding is that there's a way of making it's essentially a self-assertion that can be endorsed by others, by third parties. So that's it's a parallel to what is being developed in Open Badges, for example. And we also have very unstructured stories, on the other hand, that are stories in and among themselves. So in other words, a badge that somebody might have that Anna was talking about learning Finnish or existing in a totally different environment for a while. So, Julie, this might be a good time to talk about Experience U.
Happy to. So Experience U, and many people on the call may be familiar with this project. It's another Walmart-funded initiative. It's being co-organized by Education Design Lab. Phil Long is also helping, along with others, to basically think about how you use AI to turn unstructured data into structured data and then lay those onto digital and verifiable credentials. I have a couple of colleagues here on this call that are working with a group called WorkBay, which focuses on incarcerated folks. And they are sort of telling stories. It's very difficult to have people sort of self-attest, particularly when they are in vulnerable and marginalized populations. So the idea is to elicit sort of stories using transcripts and then structuring, laying that onto more structured taxonomies at the earners, within the earners' control about what gets laid onto a taxonomy, and then those are turned into digital credentials. So there is a T3 meeting next week. Many of folks on this call will be there, and we will be presenting this project along with 15 other projects that are also using AI to turn unstructured data into structured data.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, so follow that, yeah.
So basically we're saying there should be a balance. I mentioned the big tent, and we think there should be a way for people to invent themselves and to continue to invent themselves in ways that make sense for their lives and their careers. That's this notion of ikigai. This is the less preferred option. The idea that people can be assembled according to skills and put to work in that way. So along those lines, Serge is with us today. Serge and Nate, we co-authored something called the Bologna Open Recognition Declaration in the car on the way to an EPIC conference in Bologna, which Simone was very, very kind to invite us to. And it was sort of a cheeky reference to the Bologna framework that for academic co-recognition, and we thought it should go beyond academic recognition. And these are the principles. In other words, we think open recognition is for everybody, not only to be recognized, but to recognize others. We think technology should be able to support that. And we think policies and even funding that follows policies should support that as well. And it shouldn't just be about repackaging courses as digital credentials. So we encourage you to read and sign the Open Recognition Declaration. There's actually a badge you can have to support your values and put those values out there and help build our open recognition community. But further, back here in North America, the open recognition work group has developed these more specific, I guess, recommendations, principles to bear in mind as we're developing verifiable credentials, open badges, version 3, and just some things to think about. The idea of, naming your own skills and perhaps mapping those later. The idea that skills are dynamic, very contextual. There's no one framework to rule them all. And a commitment developing tools and networks and ecosystem that's not just top-down, but can be bottom-up and even bridging out peer-to-peer, sort of a more mesh network, and the partnerships that will support that. Just to conclude, these are some of the events across the top that are going to be exploring this. We have an open recognition thread at the Badge Summit coming up in a few weeks, and I'll be delivering a virtual webinar about open recognition before that will be recorded. And then at EPIC 2023, 7 years after the Bologna Open Recognition Declaration, we're still at it, albeit in Vienna. And some very interesting people there, including from the South Africa Qualifications Authority. Julie Reddy, former CEO, will be there, and a number of others, including Carrie, who actually submitted a proposal just last week. So we encourage you to submit proposals for that. The deadline's just gone, but also we will be accepting further later. Obviously you'd be very welcome as participants. It's a thought leadership conference. It's not about presentations as it is so much about dialogue. In the meantime, we also have the Keep Badges Weird community, which is now rebranded as Open Recognition is for Everyone, and then the community openskillsnetwork.org. So I think we can go to question and answer.
Thanks, Don.
Oh, that was great, everybody. Before we get in there, Don, do you mind keeping that slide up, the one with the communities?
Oh, sure. Good idea.
I did share the, if everyone knows, the slides are in the chat, but where those links are, but I really encourage all of you to really look into all of these different conversations, because this is a great community of people who have been working together, really since 2011, really at the very, very beginning of Open Badges. Have been having these conversations, and it means so much that these conversations continue while things like open badges and verifiable credentials start getting adopted to, more in the, I think as Don was saying, more in the micro-credentialing degree representation, the more like formal type of learning, and recognition. But, we don't just do that in our lives, right? We are learning all the time, and we are in communities, and we're learning from each other. And this is part of why Open Badges are launched initially. So Julie, Don, thank you so much, you and Julie, for being here. And I don't see anybody in the queue yet, but Julie, if you want to kick off, or Don, kick off any sort of discussion. Happy. Oh, I see Manu in the queue.
Sure. Manu, you've been added to the queue. So yeah, I'm just curious about thoughts. We're doing along with Nate's Orica and, a lot of other technologies, we're really just interested in this community's thoughts about using verifiable credentials around this open recognition piece, around sort of recognizing each other. How would they sort of be used? What are some good use cases in addition to stuff that we had worked on historically around informal learning environments? Okay, Manu, go.
Thanks, Julie. I think my biggest question is kind of from the technical standpoint. So the concept makes sense, complete sense, right? Education or learning is not just about all the formal pathways that we have. We also want to recognize all the informal you know, training that we do. And in many cases, there's a lot of that that goes on throughout kind of our professional careers. I guess the main question I have is more technical. You know, we're talking about, you know, how do we use, the open badges stuff? How do we use verifiable credentials to meet the use cases here? I guess my question is, have you found technical gaps? So we're actively working on these kind of global standards right now, and we're interested to understand is if this approach at, you know, recognizing learning, has uncovered any gaps in Open Badges 3.0 or any gaps in verifiable credentials, that we could potentially, you know, patch up, fix up before we ship the version 2.0, work for verifiable credentials. That's it.
I mentioned that there are a number of technical people supporting me on the call, so I think I'm going to throw to them pretty quickly. I would say that, for us, the thrust has been issuing credentials, more sort of pushing them out, and there's been a lot less with pulling credentials and making, well, both curating them, making sense of them, and then finding audiences for them. So I would say that's, I'm not sure that's, I would list that as a technical issue. I think it's also a socioeconomic one, but that would be a key gap. It has been just sort of pumping out tons of badges. Isn't that great? No, it isn't. It's just an input, right? So it's what happens with these things.
Again, yeah, and there's a lot of people on the queue, so I'll only add one thing, Mano, is like just knowing what happened the first time that Cities of Learning, at least in North America, you know, in Chicago, was the amount of kids that earned so many badges throughout the city through the Cities of Learning and never claimed them or used them. So to the extent, you know, and then again, I agree with Dylan, that's not a technology, may not be answering that, but the technologies being more easy, more mobile, more useful, might solve some of that problem. All right. Okay. I think we have a lot of people in the queue here.
Yeah, I'm next to Matthew, so I could say something real quick and then let other people speak. One thing, some folks may not understand necessarily about open badges previously to 3.0. And when Don and Julie are talking about the issuing, it means that it's sort of different than how we talk about issuing with verifiable credentials. With issuing, we say in open badges like 2.0 and previously, a file is created. There is an email address associated with it, and someone is making a statement about somebody else and it's posted on a web platform. Whereas this Open Badges 3.0 and verifiable credentials, there's this sense of the learner being in the middle of it and the learner saying, hey, I want that credential, please give it to me, versus it being just given to them without them necessarily like requiring or requesting it, I guess, not requiring it, requesting it. So that's a pretty critical change in the technology, right? So thinking about just that user experience and how that might apply to open recognition, I think is something we should really explore. And also, we probably want to think more about, right now it's very organizationally issuer centered, right? In terms of the structure of the spec, where we don't really leave so much room for individuals to say, I am me and I am self-attesting that. You can do it, but I don't think many expect that in terms of verifiable credentials. I'm going to stop there so let others speak. I think, Doug, I'm sorry, you're next.
Hey all, I managed to make Jitsi recognize the microphone, so that's all good. Just to plus one what Kerry said, and thank you, Don, for your presentation. So I put something in the chat earlier, just about something I was thinking about last year, which speaks to exactly what Kerry was saying there. All of the focus really, understandably, has been around issuing and verifying, making sure that these people are the people who earn this thing, which has meant that really we haven't had as much focus on earning, displaying and sharing, the kind of social element of it. And so that deck that I shared was really just thinking about, like, what if you mashed up verifiable credentials with something like ActivityPub? Like, how could you do that in an interesting way to allow socially useful things to happen? Especially now that we don't necessarily have to have the badge image. It kind of lowers the barrier to entry to allow open recognition to happen with verifiable credentials. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm really happy that there's so many talented people on this call.
Thank you, Doug. That's awesome. I forgot about that. Yes, I forget about it a lot because we always talk about badge images with open badges, but with 3.0, it's not required. And it really does also change what that means about how the recognition can be used. Nate, you are next.
Thanks. Manu, you ask a really good question about, you know, what technical gaps might we try and patch in this little time between now and like a VC 2.0 release or Open Badges 3.0 finalization. We've done a lot of work on patching up technical gaps over the last few years. Serge is on the call, and the first presentation I did with him on this topic of what technical gaps are there that are making open badges weird for open recognition was in 2014. At the Open Education Conference in Washington, D.C. And we talked about what Carrie had brought up, which is the asymmetry of the construction between the Open Badges 2.0 issuer, which was presumed to have a website where they could post blobs of JSON, and the Open Badges 2.0 recipient, which was just an email address. The recipient could not become an issuer, essentially, was the problem. With Open Badges 3.0 adopting VC, now we have a common identifier type between these two entities, which is we could use DIDs. And that's easier said than done, but I suspect that the technical gaps that we're going to find are really, as the previous speaker said, in the social layer of it, in the service layer, rather than in the data model layer for the next sort of stretch of our journey. The Open Badges 3.0 model is incredibly expressive. You can do a whole lot of stuff with it to describe different types of learning achievements. As Carrie mentioned, no image required anymore, so it's really flexible there. And we have this whole realm of like self-assertion that is now opening up to us. The technical layer of how we actually get those individuals to become issuers and be able to sign the credentials, what technology do we put in their hands to be able to do that, that's still an open question. And then probably an even bigger, harder question is how do we as an ecosystem understand the value of all of these many new issuers, you know, individuals far less formal than even non-traditional education institutions and after school clubs that Open Badges was originally supported for. How do we understand the value and the composition of the many different assertions that are coming out of individuals and self-recognition and peer recognition processes?
Thank you, Dan. That's an excellent point. Dimitri, you have the floor.
Thanks. And so I think Nate touched on a lot of what I was going to mention. But to expand on the socio-technical difficulty, not exactly a gap, but I want every one of you to start thinking about it. So I think the right end of that spectrum on one of the early slides, the self-assertions and the peer assertions are incredibly important, especially if those self-assertions are backed up by evidence, right? So I can claim that I know HTML, but then if I can link to an evidence of that, a project that I did, a online course that I completed, it gives it that much more weight. So what's needed for something like that? Well, you need a way to link credentials together and cryptographically bind different credentials together. And there's several mechanisms for that. We explore one of the mechanisms in a paper with Phil and Golda on linked credentials. And in fact, just these past few weeks, the Verifiable Credential Working Group added a mechanism to the core data model based on sub-resource integrity, but generalizing it, that allows credentials to be linked together. But that's not the interesting part. It's going to be useful, but that's the low-level technical part. The main difficulty that we're going to run into that we need to solve, if we're to have self-asserted credentials with evidence, peer credentials with evidence, is the notion of identity. And that's the bit Nate touched on already. So we're seeing in the verifiable credential the growing importance of trust registries. What do we mean by that? Lists of known issuers, lists of known verifiers. When I when somebody hands me a credential signed by a DID, and a DID is just an opaque string, a lot of the DID methods are, how do I know that a credential signed by DID example 12345 belongs to MIT, belongs to Harvard, right? We need these lists of known issuers that correlate credentials to known named entities. So we think using some of the specs being incubated in the CCG right now, we have a technical solution to that. We still need the hard social and legal lift of who keeps these lists, what's the governance, how do we trust them, all of that stuff. But we're fairly confident that for main institutions, it's a solvable problem. The thing we all should start thinking about is how do we solve that same problem of identity for individuals, for self-asserted credentials, for peer credentials. Meaning, again, I hand you a self-asserted credential or a peer credential. And let's say I tracked down my professor at school and got them to give me an evidence credential, a letter of recommendation, a credential linking to a project I did, doesn't matter. When somebody is verifying it and they see this credential signed by an opaque DID, how do they know it belongs to the professor? So this notion of how will individual identity intersect with known issuer lists is something that we as a community need to solve. So I want everybody to start thinking about that, and we'll keep the conversation going. Thanks.
Thank you, Dimitri. Serge, you're next.
Well, that's interesting because I think we precisely don't need trust registries. I think trust registries is exactly at the opposite of what we are trying to find as a solution to recognition. The thing which I find very annoying with some approach to deeds is the idea that an identifier belongs to a person. Well, an identifier, even the crudest of the identifier, is relational. And if we take the property that an identifier is relational, then the identifier will tell you with whom we are connected. It will create some kind of a namespace. And so this is why Orca is not yet another batch platform, but it is focused on the idea of the community as an identity. This identity is created, I speak about identity and not just identifier, because this is something which is different. We often make the confusion between identities and identifiers. But people don't need one identifier that they will share across many communities. I think each community of practice can create a unique identity for a person who is a member of that community, and then that person can aggregate the different elements she has from different communities. But if you are in a community which is, Harvard, for example, then the fact that you are connected to that community is enough as evidence that when you sign a credential, it really belongs to you. And so we still tend to think too much about issuing credentials, verifying credentials, and there are very, very simple systems, because the very best way to verify credentials is to look at it in context. And this is the things that we have explored with Open Badges from some time now, is that when you take a credential and you put it in a wallet, you lose 99.99% of the information which is valuable. We think that the data is within the credential. In fact, what is much more important than the data which is within the credentials is the data which is created by using that credential. For example,
If we think in terms of open recognition, one very important element is the dialogic relationship between individual and community relationship, community recognition. So, for example, if you belong to a community of practice, you have one badge from this community, and one person in this community has the same badge, and this badge has been endorsed by an employer. This recognition of this individual profit the community and profit the people whose badge has not yet been endorsed. Because then you can go and see an employer and say, hey, you see, this badge has been endorsed by this company, this badge of this individual, okay, not the badge class, but the claim has been endorsed by a company. And I think this is, if we think in terms of community, if you think in terms of data usage and not just the data that are within the badge, which is very poor data, because they are extremely limited. When you look at a badge that has been issued, you don't know how many people have received the same badge. You don't know how many of these badges have been issued. In fact, you know very, very little. You don't know if the people who have the same badge have been documenting this badge, if the information contained in the badge has been developed. So I think this is the thing which is critical to me, is if we think in terms of recognition, the content within the badge is almost secondary to the data which is produced around using the badge.
That's a good point. Manu, you are next.
Yeah, just to reflect back, I think, some of the things that I heard, all really great stuff. So I'm hearing that, you know, from a technology standpoint, we have some of the underpinnings that we would need to make this open recognition stuff work. Like we've got, you know, verifiable credentials. We have open badges, V3. You know, we're able to, we have these kind of digital wallet things. So there's some fundamental technologies that exist there, and that's probably not where the problem is. The problem, the difficulty is a little higher up on the technology stack. It's like the platforms. The platforms that we have currently don't allow easily individuals to issue, you know, open badges and for us to understand, you know, how to put that individual that has issued the badge in context with a larger kind of learning ecosystem. And that seems to be one of the big challenges are the platforms that we have right now. And I think it's true. The platforms that have been built to date very much kind of follow a traditional large institution issuer model. And what we're looking for is something more, Mastodon activity pub like, where you have small social communities that are interacting with each other and want to issue within their communities and ideally have that recognized externally. The one thing I wanted to point out to the group is that we're actively working with the ActivityPub community and the Mastodon community. So they're very much engaged with at least the digital signature portion of the Verifiable Credentials 2.0 work, the data integrity work there. They're doing a number of implementations to secure ActivityPub messages. And the mechanism that they're looking at right now, the data integrity stuff, is compatible with, you know, some of the stuff that's been used to secure these verifiable credentials over time. So the idea here is that we should be able to, have these verifiable credentials, Open Badge V3.0 stuff, be integrated with the technical platforms. That seems to be a very doable thing. But again, the problem seems to be a little higher up the stack. How do you change that social kind of media server such that it enables people to kind of engage on the social media platform and issue and potentially verify credentials as individuals? I do agree that with a number of things Dimitri said as well, which is, you know, there are the idea of trust, you know, how do you trust this and do you determine it through context or do you determine it through a government issued ID, for example? Those are kind of two extremes. Or is it somewhere in between? That seems like a really interesting topic for this, you know, group to to try and figure out and solve. So I'm hoping that I heard those things, you know, correctly. If there are some technical rough edges with the current specifications, you know, please do make those known. We have another year before we fully ratify verifiable credentials 2.0, but we basically enter feature freeze in about 2 months, 2 to 3 months. So if there is something that, you know, is desperately needed by this community to support the open recognition stuff, now is definitely the time to raise issues on those specifications so that we can get that technology in there, for this iteration of the spec. Thanks.
Thank you, Manu. And Deb, you are next to me.
So I think Manu said a lot of this and also Don in the chat, so I'll be brief, but it seems to me, you know, there's a whole range of use cases in terms of what's needed and expected of a trusted network of providers and how you can reliably identify who is who. And, you know, if you're dealing with something that's, a high stakes credential that is supposed to verify your, skills for potentially dangerous activity, like a nurse, then they're going to need to be different levels of trust. So we can't put everything in the same bucket, but I think it's really useful to think about contextualizing these trust networks as networks of networks so that, you know, an informal credential, a self-asserted credential can be considered in the same context as a different type of credential that has different ramifications for the trust network.
Yeah, definitely, Deb. Something else in the queue. No one else is there, and I'm going to send it back to Julie and Don to finish the talk, but, you know, it's interesting. What I've been hearing a lot is about, like, context and about trust. Just a brief thought on that is that, well, the power of OpenBadges 3.0 adopting verifiable credential standard is that, all of these credentials can be put together, whether they're formal, informal, non-formal, community, that they can be inserted together by the learner. They can be packaged up, and verified, like, technically, right, in the same way, which we never had before, which I think is the power here. One of the powers here, anyway, with, aligning open badges to a standardized verification. Julie and Don, will you close us up?
Sure.
Go John. Because I think all I would do is just to plus one what you and Deb said. And I mean, just building off of the conversation, I do think that context is everything. And I think personally, just getting away from an either our proposition of high stakes credentials versus kind of peer to peer. The technology can support all of these things as long as the earner has control over them.
Great. Well, I would say plus 100 to that. I mean, I came to Open Badges through the doorway of, ePortfolio, which, unfortunately, has become a very sort of siloed, kind of thing. And I know Serge was very excited when I heard about Open Badges and I shared it with him. And it certainly has transformed, the dialogues we're having at Epic. And I think it really does come down to, the control, the voice, I guess, of the learner. And so in other words, do a bunch of badges in a wallet. Is that your voice? What control do you have over that? How can you use those hardened pieces of evidence with the softer pieces of evidence to tell a story about yourself that works for a particular situation, whether it's joining a community or trying to get a job? And I think that would be, and there's big elements of technology in that which have been touched on in this discussion, but it's also a cultural thing almost. In other words, can you express yourself in this way in an ongoing dynamic way? It's work, but I think it's very valuable work for people to have fulfilling lives and just putting the tools and the realization that the power is there for them to do that and to support what they have with endorsements, with hardened pieces of evidence, I think is really important. And that's part of what we're trying to get at in these various communities and these various dialogues. I really learned a lot from today. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for being here. Serge, I see you in the queue. Can you keep it short? Because we have to end right at the end. There you go. Thank you.
Yes, very short. Just to say that, you know, with wallets today, you can show the credentials you have received. But we think that it is just as important to show the endorsements you have offered and the credentials you have issued. And I think the technology should make it very easy to show all the endorsements that has been given to others. And I don't see that in the wallets today.
Yeah, agreed. Also, I think, you know, we're going to have a lot of the wallets going forward. Sorry, go ahead, Jill.
No, I agree with that.
Also, in recognition, folks, thank you very much for coming today. It'd be great if you could come back maybe towards the end of the year, maybe after, after EPIC, and give us an update on all of this. We need this discussion, in alignment with the verifiable credentials.
Great.
Agreed.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Happy Monday.